ESPN's Teron Davenport, Talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of week again here on Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Happy to welcome in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, covers the Titans. TD, we're looking at, one more preseason game and then 2 weeks before this team actually plays football. Right now, what is your biggest concern about the Tennessee Titans?
Good question. Biggest concern, I would say there still seems to be a disconnect in the passing game. That would be my biggest concern, and that's especially coming off of what we saw yesterday, which wasn't the best, I don't want to say effort, but performance. It wasn't good. They struggled to move the ball against the second team defense.
So when you talk about the passing game, a lot of the focus has been Ridley. And PK was talking earlier, you know, like Boyd comes back on the field and it's like Levis and Boyd, it's boom, boom. And I know it's you know, different spots and maybe some of that is shorter stuff and whatever. And Ridley and Levis are trying to connect on some, you know, some chunk plays that are not as easy to make. But is Ridley to you, is it Ridley Levis that's still, like, if that falls into line, then things overall look better?
I don't think it's just that. I think Ridley is one of them, but Burks as well. They're having trouble connecting. There were a couple times, and PK noted it, right, when Burks had the deep outbreaking route, and after the play, they had to talk about it because something wasn't right, and we still don't know who was right, who was wrong, et cetera. But you have that. I mean, the things with Boyd, that's going to come naturally just because where he works in the field – and just, you know, how he is as far as always making the throws easy for Levis to make. So they're going to have to do that. And you're not seeing the tight ends as a true part of the passing game either. And that's something that they have to get involved as well.
You think, like, what percentage do you put lip service and what percentage do you put concern when they say it'll come? We hear the same thing on defense, obviously, with no Snead and no Awuzie, where, you know, they have no choice but to say we'll be fine and they'll be out there, you know, at least the Wednesday before the opener and things will click just fine when we're out there against the Bears. But it feels like there's a lot of stuff they're saying that about, 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before the opener.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Jared and Caroline, it's a pretty good phrase that they used, that it'll be fine season, and that's kind of where we are. I think I would say probably 70-30, 80-20. And I think a good example is the ball where Ridley said that, you know, he wasn't running hard enough. I think in a game, he chases that down. So I think that's an example of where that stuff does get right in a game. But, I would say 80-20.
All right, we've talked a lot about DMR. David Martin Robinson, we know you got the Temple, you got the Philly, ties, TD. And he's been good, there's no doubt. We were talking earlier about Stilley saying that he thinks he might leapfrog these other guys. I think that might be a little much. But how do you see the hierarchy there? And – is he a lock on this 53?
Yeah, well, we know our guy Stilley. Jarrett, he never found a moment he didn't want to be captured by, and I think that's what's going on here. So, look, DMR, he's a good player, right? I don't put him above Chig and Wiley just yet. Maybe down the line that's something that could happen, but I think the hierarchy goes Chig, Wiley, just – Wiley's after Chig, in my opinion, is because the inconsistency as far as being available. But after that, I think it's Vinette and DMR. And I think they keep four tight ends. So I think that's the way it goes. Thomas Odokoya is a very, very close fifth, but I think he goes back on the practice squad.
Yeah, and probably with the international exemption because DMR emerged. So, guy, again, gets probably the 17th spot. Presuming you've got six receivers with Jaquan Jackson, what do you make of Phillips, Kinsey, and Kiaris Jackson? all of whom are probably unlikely to play. Phillips with a hamstring, Kinsey with a broken pinky, Kyaris Jackson with the bruised knee. Any chance one of them is the seventh in your eyes? And how's practice squad shake out there?
Yeah, I can't see those guys making it. I mean, and it's so unfortunate that they're all injured and probably won't play. And I think Phillips, I could see a team like Buffalo or somebody picking Phillips up and him going there and having a solid season. It's just the way things go, you know. But Jackson and Kinsey, I think those guys are going to get that practice squad and be the standard elevation. You know, each of them get there three times to do that, and that's going to answer some of the punt return backup situations that they'll have if they don't keep Eric Guerra. And, you know, you're going to need a backup if Jaquan Jackson, you know, God forbid, isn't able to go out there and return a punt on a play. So that's the way I see that. Practice squad, man, can't forget about Bryce Oliver. You know, I think he's someone that's going to make his way onto that practice squad, too. He's had a pretty solid – I mean, you saw the bomb he caught from Willis, and then he caught a nice touchdown from Mason Rudolph, too, and he's had a solid camp.
He and Willis have a great connection. He's a great third-team wide receiver. The question is, you know, about his growth. If Kinsey's back on the practice squad, you need to get ESPN stats and research to look up who's spent the most weeks on the practice squad in their career. It's got to be recent guys since the practice squad rules changed with COVID, but he's got to be right there.
He's a stalwart.
Yeah. I always say, man, the apocalypse, if it ever comes, man, I'm right in Mason Kinsey's pocket. That dude, he consistently survives, man, and is able to always stick around.
I will say for him, you know, a team that is, like, desperately seeking more receiver depth is the Detroit Lions. I mean, like, right now, Khalif Raymond's their third receiver. You know, like, they've lost their receiver depth. Jameson Williams is receiver two for them. Like, our Lions got Colton Pouncey at the Athletic. He was like, there's no way they'll cut NWI, right? I'm like, no, they will not. But, like, I was like, Mason Kinsey.
You know that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm like, nah, yeah, Lions better cough up a second rounder for that. But, I was like, Mason Kinsey, like, he could probably help some teams like that just have no receiver depth, right? And I'm with you on, like, a Phillips, too. Phillips does seem like a guy who someone might be
go somewhere and get healthy.
Yeah, might be.
I'm not convinced that Kinsey, as good as he is at what he does now, translates in the season.
I'm not either. He has gotten better though.
Yeah,
right?
He has gotten better. What do you think of Caleb Murphy? We've talked a lot about him in the press room. There's some people that Mike Herndon, I just put up his 53. He wants to squeeze Weaver out, and Rashad Weaver doesn't do a lot, but he does play a lot of snaps. It's hard for me to envision him out in favor of Murphy, who hasn't played very high in the rotation. And I know he's got some pass rush potential, but it still seems like it's potential.
Yeah, that potential is something that, you know, could get some coaches in trouble. And I know a lot of coaches, they hate potential because, you know, then it's – if it doesn't come to fruition, you know, these guys are their jobs are on the line. But I think when you look at Caleb Murphy, he flashed last year, and he didn't do it this year. I mean, that's really the bottom line. Jalen Harrell came in, and I think he pushed both Weaver and Murphy down the depth chart. I still think if you have to choose between the two, I would choose Weaver. I think that he's a better of those two players. There's upside with Murphy, but you also have to factor in how much special teams Weaver plays, and I think that would get him the plus.
He played a great deal of special teams against Seattle, and I would imagine he'll play a great deal of special teams again. And Murphy doesn't.
I want to stick on defense. TD, you know, an inside linebacker. It's Ben Gibbons and Murray. Obviously, Chance Campbell is one of my, you know, I guess he's my defensive NWI, but he's, you know, I mean, but he's had a lot more opportunities to make plays because he's been on the field in these preseason games. But I do think he's got athleticism, he's got a feel for it, he's got instincts. Do you feel like there's any push from the reserves? And I guess I would start with him in that starting unit. Like, do you feel like a Chance Campbell could be a better option at some point than a Jack Gibbons next to Kenneth Murray?
He's a more athletic option. We could say that. I think Gibbons, his main thing is two things, the length that he brings to the position and also how heady he is. But, you know, sometimes he'll snuff it out and read it and just he's not able to get there because he's not the same athlete that Chance Campbell is. Or you look at Otis Reese, you know, that sideline to sideline ability that he has is something. So I think, you know, Chance Campbell could definitely push, and I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere along the line he becomes the starter. But I'm still just quietly watching James Williams and just enjoying how he's just he's a wrecking ball. Like you put your arm around him and you point at something and you say, son, just go blow it up. And that's what he does consistently. So you have that. And then the Cedric Gray situation is that's one I can't really figure out, right, because with the IR rules and everything like that, I wonder what they do with him.
Gibbons has a way of fading, Joe, so I could see Campbell coming on. But I think the one thing we need to keep reminding ourselves and everybody of with this second inside linebacker position is what a small role it is.
Sure.
Because they are going to play a ton of nickel and dime. And so it could be a one down position in a lot of games or one and a half down position in a lot of games. And so we could have a lot of consternation about it, but in the end, it's not going to be incredibly impactful for the snaps.
Yeah, that's a good point. So TD
and Cedric Gray in terms of going on IR, Joe and I will talk about it after we're done with TD. But I got more information on how you can place guys on IR and how hurt you have to be. And I don't know if he's hurt enough really to qualify. He was on the side field the last 2 days. I don't know if it's a 4-week injury, you know, and I think it's got to be more serious for them to do it.
Right, and that's the whole thing where I feel there's a quandrum that has to be, you know, worked through because you're right. And now initially I thought it was for the whole year, and I'm like, I doubt they do that. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough situation. They're going to have to cut some good players.
Talking to Ryan Davenport, ESPN. Last thing, TD, sticking on defense. So Quandre Diggs, he's a guy, and, you know, molding him, and it's just reality for him. I'm very interested to see this full secondary, which we won't see until Chicago. But Elijah Molden, Jamal Adams, do you feel like, you know, the role that Adams seems to be destined for here, is that almost like something that Molden could be in the same kind of role or his backup in that role? Or how do you see Molden now? Strictly just a backup safety or maybe a guy like a big nickel guy as well? Because I'm just assuming Adams gets hurt at some point.
Yeah, he could do both. And if you remember, you know, Molden's rookie year, they were blitzing him a lot. Like he had a good ability to time up the snap and get a good jump on it. So you do have that. And it's funny because both of them are guys where I'm like, coverage-wise, I'm not trying to see them covering anybody. But if you want to play in the box, you know, and come up and help out against the run and attack the quarterback, they're both really good. Well, not really good, but they're both solid there.
I do think Adams, when healthy, is more of a thudder than Molden.
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of hybrid linebacker kind of guy. Tron Davenport, TD, thanks so much, my friend. You going to New Orleans?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Eat for us.
Yes. Oh, man, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Eat and drink for us, please. I miss that town. All right, have fun, TD.
I'll eat for you.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Have fun, and we'll see you next week. Tron Davenport, ESPN Foundation. Care. When we come back, we will react to TD and also get into some of what you're talking about, PK. PK, not TD, about the IR situation. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.